Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. The New Testament book of Acts, in Acts and chapter number 1. The book of Acts and chapter number 1. Of course, we're continuing with our series dealing with prayer. And we're going to start in the book of Acts chapter 1 today as we go through another concept of prayer. The idea of praying together as a church. Now, a lot of what we've been talking about before is trying to be the encouragement, trying to build up the theology, trying to build up the motivation to pray for yourself, to pray individually, to pray in closet, getting a hold of God, how important it is. But we cannot overemphasize the power of praying together as a church. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we look together in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts in chapter number 1. It's going to pick up the story with Jesus dying on the cross, raising again the third day, spending 40 days with his disciples, and now he is ascending up to heaven. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 10. And while they, the disciples, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he, Jesus, went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they came in, they went up into the upper room, which abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice this, that in verse number 14, they continued with one accord in prayer. They continued in one accord in prayer. What we're having here is a meeting of the Church of Jerusalem, meeting together in the upper room, in what is called a prayer meeting. There, in the New Testament, there are two different meetings of the assemblings of the local church. The first is the preaching meeting, which we're very familiar with. This is what we have normally Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have a preaching meeting. And in the preaching meeting, it is run a little bit different that we are listening as someone opens up the Word of God and we're responding. Another meeting that is put throughout the New Testament is the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is a unique, different meeting, and it should be something that we find in our local churches because it was found in the first century church, that the people gathered together for the purpose of praying. Now, typically in a normal church, the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting. Here we do have several opportunities. We have a prayer meeting at 9:15 every Sunday morning. We have the men and ladies separated out, and we gather together as a church praying for certain requests. On Wednesday nights, we attempt to, in the middle of our service, to take a time for prayer where we corporately pray. And remember that when we have these prayer meetings, there should be direction, there should be purpose, that you don't have a meeting just because. There should be a direction, something that's trying to be accomplished during that prayer meeting. Why? Because we're trying to pray in one accord. We're trying to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. It is through him and his power and his authority that we pray together. May I also highlight something specific in here too, in verse number 14, that it goes through the list in verse 13 of the disciples, but it also says, these continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Notice this, with the women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Inside of a prayer meeting, we know that we know different ideas of society have popped up, but in a prayer meeting, it is proper that men and women all pray out loud, that we take our time, because women are part of a church too. They're members of the church, and they can get a hold of God just as well as everyone else, and that they're an important part, that is, we pray together. Now, again, those are during our prayer meeting times, not necessarily the preaching meeting times, which is a certain order and a certain thing. But in our prayer meetings, what we're placing emphasis is that everyone gets to pray. Everyone has the opportunity of talking to the Lord. Everyone has the privilege, and we can go to the throne room of grace together in one accord, one heart, with our minds and our hearts upon the Lord to approach him. And there's something that happens that is we come in one accord. Remember, the idea of accord carries the idea that we're in agreement. It doesn't mean that we all have Hondas. It means that we're all together in agreement. And that we're looking at the Lord together, and we're trying to follow after him. And as we're looking at him, our hearts are knit together because we're looking at the same goal. We have the same thing to be pleased with, that God wants to be pleased with him. We want to do what he's given us to do, that we've gathered together looking at him. And because we're looking at him together, we could come in a unity of talking with him together. And inside of these instances, we can watch God work as we go together into the throne room. There's something special when a church comes to one accord. The Bible actually indicates that when this happens, there becomes a great power, not in ourselves, but something that God grants that as we come to the Lord together into one accord. By the way, this is also why that when we pray corporately, meaning out loud, that when someone is praying out loud, that everyone else in the seats are listening and praying the same prayer in their mind, so we could go to the throne room of grace together into one accord. It shouldn't be that some guy's praying and you're like, okay, hurry up, let's go. You're not praying in one accord. We have an opportunity to go to the throne room of grace together and to go see the God of glory. So with this, if you don't mind, let's go and let's look and see different things that we find that the church, the local church, the church, first century church, did together and how they prayed together and why they were together to pray, that we could follow that same example. Notice the first thing that we find is that prayer declares our dependence upon God. Prayer declares our dependence on God. Something that we've been highlighting in the last several weeks, now almost the last couple months, is the idea that we can do nothing. That without Christ, we can do nothing. And remember the teachers' workers' meeting, we had you put a question mark beside that statement and the idea, do you believe this verse? And we do that because, to be honest, I don't believe that verse. I believe that without Christ, I could do something. But the verse is clear that without Christ, we can do nothing. How do I tell whether I'm depending upon God? So someone in my classes, how do we tell that we're depending upon God? What is a telltale sign? Nope. Related. We pray. Oh, come on. I've been going 2 months and you guys are, this is important. We could tell our dependence on God based of our prayer life. If you're not praying, you're not depending on God. If you're not using your prayer life to put, we're not depending on God. That means that if we're not praying, we are depending upon ourselves. And by the way, God will let us do things ourselves, but all we can get accomplished is what man can get accomplished. We want what God and God alone can get accomplished. And so one of the important parts of prayer is that we're getting together to put our dependence on God. It has always been my belief that the most important part of a Sunday service is the prayer meetings. The 9:15 prayer meetings, where before we start anything, we're putting our dependence upon the Lord. That we are saying, Lord, we can't do anything for you today. The teachers can't teach without you. The services won't get across without you. People won't make the decision. We need to put our dependence upon him, because without him, we can do nothing. And so, as we find in the book of Acts, chapter number one, they continued with one accord, and they're praying together. If you remember, the cross reference is in the gospel record of Luke, where Jesus said, "Dwell here in Jerusalem until you be endued with Holy Spirit." He says, you wait here, don't serve, don't go witnessing, don't do, until you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. With that idea of the Holy Spirit, that we can't do anything. Without you, we could do nothing. So we're not going out until we have you. We're putting our dependence upon you. This is the prayer meeting that they're having in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where we had just read. They're praying for the power of God to come. They're praying for God's Spirit to come. They're praying for God to do the work, because without him, we can do nothing. And that should be a big part of a church. You want to see a successful church? You have a church that realizes they're nothing. Amen. You want to see a church that's really moving forward for the Lord? It's not one that's bristling with numbers, even though numbers are nice. It's a church that together they realize we can't do anything without him. If anything's going to be accomplished, if we're going to make any type of impact, if we're going to do anything in the lives and community, it has to be God. And that a church has to get together. Now remember, how do we tell if we're depending on God or not? Our prayer life. And so we as a church aren't together in praying our dependence, then we're depending upon something else. And that's going to be a dangerous thing. It must be God and God alone. And so again, we're exploring that a New Testament church prays together, and that we need to pray for dependence upon God. We also find something else, the gospel record of Matthew, chapter number 9. We find another reason of the people, the local church, gathering together to pray. Notice with me Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 37. Jesus is now looking at all the people and seeing everyone scattered, and they're quitting, and they don't have strength, as sheep not having a shepherd. In fact, notice with me verse 36, Matthew 9, 36. But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So looking at this scene, Jesus then turns to his disciples. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. By the way, this is the only prayer request Jesus gave. You know, we ask people, how can we pray for you? And hopefully you're taking whatever they give you and praying for it. And so if you went to Jesus and said, Jesus, what is it that you want us to pray for? He said, here's my prayer request. You think we should take it seriously if Jesus gave us a prayer request? Good. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. So we know who we're praying to. We're praying to God, the Lord of the harvest, that he would do what? That he would send forth laborers in his harvest field. You understand how we deal with a labor shortage, a labor issue, shows how much we trust in God? What do you mean? Most people, most churches, let's do the idea of context of churches, solve a labor shortage by recruitment. Most churches will solve labor shortage by recruiting, by advertising. There was a church once that had a newspaper ad saying, we're looking for a sound person. We're looking for a music director. Well, is that how you advertise this out to the public? Absolutely not. No. How do we see our dependence upon the Lord? Good. Good. How do we see if we're depending upon the Lord? By how do we handle a labor shortage? The idea, do we look toward the Lord? So how does this work? Well, just imagine that you have a cell phone, right? If I have a cell phone and I'm calling you, my cell phone does not dial you. My cell phone goes up to a satellite or to a tower and then bounces off. So if I need laborers, my prayer goes up to God, then God puts the signal down in someone's heart and said, I want you to be a laborer. I'm going to draw you. I'm going to put you in this place. You understand? We could trust God to move people around. Amen. God to bring people to the place of service. That we show our dependence upon God by how do we handle a labor shortage? Are we gathering together as a church to pray for laborers? Pray that God would do something. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. This is what we show our dependence upon. This is what a New Testament church was to gather to do during a prayer meeting, is to show our dependence upon him to pray for laborers. What else? Turn with me, since we're there, in Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is going to be very important for context sake. In fact, let me show you the two verses and show you how powerful this is within context. Matthew chapter 18 is one of those verses where people take out of context quite often. Let's keep it in context, but let's just look at the two verses. Matthew 18, notice with me verses 19 and 20. I say to you that if two or more shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask of, it shall be done for them of my Father which is heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. All right, let's pause. Most people will teach that if we just have two Christians gather together, that all of a sudden there's a magic sauce that people answer prayers. This is not what this verse is talking about. Remember, context is king. What is the context? Starting at verse 15, we see that this is dealing with the idea of church discipline. Church discipline, that someone is not responding well. They've already gone through the steps that someone's gone to them privately, kept things short, tried to address something, they refuse. So then they bring a witness. The witness tries to talk with them. So a pastor and a trustee, a pastor and a deacon try to talk with them. They still refuse to get it right. So now we have to bring it before the church, right? So it's the idea of context. Now notice in the context, verse number 18, for I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that two or more agree together as touching anything that they should ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So this is talking about a meeting of a church, specifically dealing with the idea of church discipline. So notice again, the power that God has put in Jesus' name, that if there's someone on church that needs to be put on church discipline, that as the church has followed the steps and they've gathered together to pray, it says whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. What does that mean? That if someone is placed on church discipline under the direction of God's Spirit as they've obeyed the Bible, that their prayer meeting, as they're praying and saying, God, we're turning these people over to you. We want them to be restored, but this is something that we have to do in obedience to you for the protection of our congregation. This means that they're bound and put on church discipline even if they leave and go to a different church. Even if they go, they're still going to have the judgment of God bound on them until they get things right. It doesn't matter where they go. You understand, this is a lot of power. By the way, they're unloosed by going through the steps of restoration, and the church prays together. And as they pray together, whatever's loosed in earth is loosed up in heaven. You see, that changes it more and puts even more power here. The idea of a power of a church meeting that's responding to God can have lasting effects on someone, even if they're placed on church discipline. And they can't run from it. They can move states, they can try to move churches, but they can't run from it. That's a lot of power there, isn't it? The power of people praying together in unity under the direction of God. That's a lot of big things right there. What else do we find? Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Jesus is now praying and trying to gather his disciples. He has several of the disciples down the mountain praying. He takes his inner circle, James, John, and Peter, with him to pray. Jesus knows he's going to the cross. He is praying, and he comes back, and the people are asleep. You know what he wanted? He wanted them to be praying together. even though they may be praying separately, they're still in the location praying for the same thing. This is a big deal up here. Notice what Jesus said, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we also pray together to seek God's protection. A praying church can lift one another up in prayer, asking God to keep them from entering into temptation. This is why we ask you to pray for your pastor, that if the church is praying together, we're praying for our pastor that God would protect his mind, protect his Bible reading, protect what he watches, protect how he responds to people. The church together praying, that's valuable because you want your pastor up there. Amen. Think of someone who may be traveling in Europe right now. We do have someone traveling in Europe right now. He doesn't have the privilege of going to church. You know how much temptation there is for a young man traveling in Europe? We need to pray. We have a church person who's visiting family. He's newly saved and he's with family who's not saved. We need to pray together for protection for him, because you know how discouraging it could be and what Satan would love to do to make this so this young man doesn't want to. Well, why try? I mean, if everyone's going to treat me like this, I'm just trying to do my best. Forget that. Well, then I'm just, lose that fire. Yeah. We have to pray for protection, praying for one another, guarding, seeing people that are in danger and praying that God would give them protection. Let them be in their Bible reading. And we have a whole section on our prayer bulletin now of praying for people to be in their Bible. Why? Because as we pray together, it could work, and knowing how important these things are. There is a lot of power when we come together to pray for these specific things. Not the idea that we have any power of ourselves. Amen. But God has put it within his local church and the authority that as we pray together, we have a wonderful God that could do wonderful things. Amen. And that these are things that we need to be praying for, seeking God's protection. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. Anybody is capable of anything at any time. Lord, protect them. You know, someone said, teenagers are good. What, you don't trust me? No, I don't trust sin. Anyone's capable of anything at any time. Takes one time of weakness in the flesh, and anyone's capable of anything. We need to pray for protection. Pray for them to stay close to God. That should be something corporately. We're praying for one another and bearing one another's burdens. That's why we ask for prayer requests. We're looking, what can we do to pray? How can we guard? How can we watch? Praying together. Notice, if we don't mind, Acts chapter 4. We can have an increased faith and enlarged vision through prayer. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples now are off preaching and they get arrested. That's always encouraging when you get arrested for preaching the gospel. Well, they were released with the idea, don't you ever do this again. Now, if you're made up of the same stuff as I am, that's always like, well, I don't want to go back out. Yeah. I know I should, but I don't want to get arrested. They just threatened they'd kill me the next time they caught me passing out a track. They told me they were going to put me in jail and throw away the key the next time they saw me knocking on a door. If you're made up of the same stuff as everyone else, I don't want to go. Yeah. You know, what do we do? You know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. Notice with me, if you don't mind, let's pick it up in verse number 20. Acts 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company, going back to their local church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, the local church, heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak the word. So verse 29, they get to the thing of it. We need boldness. We're too scared to go out. Amen. We need boldness to go out and continue to do what you've told us to do. Verse 30, and by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed with one heart and one soul, and they went on and saw multitudes saved. Praise the Lord. They didn't go out on their own because they were scared, but they knew they were scared, so they went to God and said, God, you have to give us boldness. You have to give us the strength to go and the opportunity to go and the wisdom to go that we don't currently have. You see, they gathered together and as a local church and they prayed for these things and God worked. They had increased vision. How do we have an increased vision of what we can do? By praying together. As we pray together, God will say, hey, you know what? I want to show you what this small little church can do.
Amen.
Amen. We can have a worldwide impact, and we're planning on having a worldwide impact. Even way up here, we could do a thing as we get together and pray. Acts chapter 12, you have Peter put in prison. And as Peter's in prison, you know what the church is doing? They're having a prayer meeting. Lord, you watch over Peter. They've already killed James. They're now hungry for blood. They're going to kill Peter. And they're praying together. And they're praying that God would give protection, that God would work. They don't know what's going to happen. But they're praying. And so when Peter gets supernaturally released from prison, guess where he goes? He goes to the church. Now, remember, it's in the middle of the night. It's not a Sunday morning. And he goes there. Why? Because he knew they would be having a prayer meeting. He knew that they would be assembled together, and praying for protection. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I hope that if I'm in prison, that I know if I got released, I know would go, and then you guys had already been praying for me.
Amen.
Well, isn't that wonderful? They had gathered together, and they were facing great trials together, praying. Lord, we don't know how we're going to get through this trial. We don't know how we're going to survive this. We don't know how we're going to get through this. Lord, you're going to have to watch over us. You're going to guide us the steps. You're going to have to give us protection. Going to the Lord, again, part of putting our dependence upon God, that God can see us through those trials. Then, if you don't mind, one last passage, the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. We're talking about the local church having a prayer meeting and the different things that local church of the first century had prayed for. That we could follow that same example that we're praying together as well. Notice with me Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, notice with me in verse number 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. What happens, a local church can gather together to pray and seek God for opportunities to spread the gospel. God can open up the doors of the opportunity to spread the gospel. How do we know how to get the message out? Well, we work hard and be diligent, but God opens the door and pray. You know, with our world, technology changes, travel changes. In the 1800s, I would have to get around in a horse and buggy to go to meeting to meeting. Today, I could get on a jet and I could preach one place in the country in the morning and across the country that evening. Because of things. So technology's changed. We know that technology's changed on the media front, that we have people around the world that listen to our messages and follow up. Our phone app now reaches 175 countries.
Amen.
We have an impact. That with our new media publishing ministry, we have a concerted effort on purpose to be able to translate the books that we're writing and give to missionaries, going to be translated to 8 different languages. I had someone just speak to me another one about a 9th language.
Oh, wow.
This thing's already spreading and we're just now starting, but people are excited. They're like, this is what missionaries need. You understand that in the English reading market, books are saturated.
Yes.
But around the world, missionaries are begging to get good materials in the hands of people. And we can make an impact with the books that we're printing through this church to reach thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, opening up a door that would have never been opened before this time to reach more people and have a worldwide influence, even though we're not the largest church in the state. We're not even the largest church in our town. But we can have a worldwide impact. It wasn't because of us. God opens up the doors of opportunities. And as we pray together and say, God, what would you, more doors can be opened to have an impact that we can never do on our own, through our own skill, knowledge, wisdom, ideas, dreams, anything. God can open up these things. So as we pray together, one of the most important times that can happen in our assembly of our local church is our prayer meetings. That we need to be faithful, and we need to keep an idea that those prayer meetings are not a waste of time. The prayer meetings are not just something we've got to endure, but our prayer meetings of our church are some of the most important meetings that we have, because it's the time we get in touch with God and let God direct how we move from here on out, and that we have an accord, a unity. You know, if we're all praying together and then God gives us the vision as we're praying together, and that, oh man, this is exciting. We have a lot less problems because this is what God's given us to do. We're going to step forward. We believe that this is what God's given us to do. This isn't pastor's idea. This is God's idea. And that we're just getting on board with, and we get excited about it. We have a lot less criticism. I don't understand why you're wasting. Well, that means those people are criticized that have been in our prayer meetings. They haven't had their hearts knit. They haven't been going to God together with us saying, oh man, God's opening the door. This is wonderful. This is how a local church, even a small local church, when we pray together, the impact is amazing. It is important. It changes things because it's all about God, not about us. We must throw our dependence upon us. So not only is our closet time prayer important, but when we gather together to pray, those are also important as well. In fact, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you'd give grace and that you'd give mercy, that you would give us understanding. And Lord, that you would help us as a church to be dependent upon you, that we would pray more together, that we would make the time that we pray quality time, that we would learn to go to the throne room of grace together. That is, someone's praying out loud, we're joining with them and facing you inside of your throne room to deliver these requests to you, and that we could see more of our folks protected, more of our folks given wisdom, more of our folks have their hearts knit together, more opportunities to spread the gospel, the boldness to spread the gospel. Lord, things to run the way that you desire them to be run. Lord, thank you for being a wonderful God. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.